Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, the show that tackles topics important to you and your family. Finances, food, education, technology, and everything in between. We've got it covered on Mom Talk. Now, here's the host of the top-rated show for moms, Maria Bailey, on Mom Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mom Talk Radio. I'm so happy you guys are with me. Another week, and that pep in my voice is that, yay, the kids are going back to school, and tomorrow is an eclipse, and most schools have said now that you don't have to come to school if you are staying home to watch the eclipse. I mean, that's like a real tease for moms, right? It's the first day of school, but oh, by the way, we'll give you an excused absence if you don't want to go. So how many kids will be going to school tomorrow? I have no idea. But you're here today, so let's be excited together that on Tuesday, the kids will be going back to school, and we'll be able to get our lives back on track and establish the new normal for the next school year. You know, one thing that you probably will be doing is trying to get your kids to brush their teeth in the morning. And as moms, we know how important it is to teach good hygiene habits to our children from a young age. Proper flossing and brushing and rinsing are critical steps for a lifetime of good dental care. So I'm excited to encourage you to go to actoralcare.com and click on Act for Kids link at the top of the page to find great tips and tools for getting your kids to brush, floss, and rinse, including a brushing progress chart. And check out new Act Kids toothpaste for children 2 years and older with bubblegum and fruit punch flavors. Your kids are going to love it. And 4 out of 5 parents say Act Kids toothpaste motivates their kids to brush. When you're done on the website, you can find it at Walmart, Walgreens, and Target locations. You can also save money on Act Kids toothpaste by going to actkidssavings.com. So there you have it. Start off the good school year with a little good toothpaste and oral hygiene as well. You know, it's hard to believe. I saw someone on Facebook the other day post that we're like, I don't know, 50 days till Halloween. Oh my God, my brain wanted to start exploding thinking about the holiday seasons. And somebody asked me about holiday gifts, and I actually have one of my children leaving in a couple of weeks. She has joined the Peace Corps and will be living in Africa for the next 2 years. And I actually want to slip a Christmas gift into her suitcase so she has something to unwrap on Christmas morning since she won't be with us. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I'm going to go Christmas shopping in September. But I guess it's for a good cause. And I'm excited that I'm truly humbled and proud that my daughter is going to serve in the Peace Corps. I think it means that I did something right in life. But anyways, Christmas is right around the corner. The holidays are right around the corner, and it all starts with that Halloween. So let's stay in the moment, right? We're still celebrating back to school, and we're going to take a short break. And when we get back, speaking of back to school, we have Harlan Cohen here. The Naked Roommate is his book. My kids all took it and with them to college, and we're excited to have him joining us as soon as we return.
This is Mom Talk Radio. Mom's Little Secret, Mom Talk Radio with Maria Bailey.
So every time one of my college kids gets accepted and we begin to assemble whatever is going to college with her or him, my husband runs out and buys one book, and I am so excited to have the author of that book on today's show. The book is The Naked Roommate and 107 Other Issues You Might Run Into in College, and the author is Harlan Cohen, and he has given my kids a whole bunch of advice over the years, so I'm excited to share with you his wisdom. So welcome, Harlan, to Mom Talk Radio.
Oh my gosh, I need to give you a big thank you, not only for having me, but supporting the cause.
Okay, so I at least bought 4 of your books, and they are on campuses at Clemson and Notre Dame and Long Island University and even West Point. So you have it.
Great. I have a smile from ear to ear. I love that. And now, how has your children's college experiences been?
They've actually been really great. And you know, I think the name of your book really kind of, I know that when my husband brings it home and gives it to them, it kind of just lightens the little bit of tension or anxiety that might be there thinking about like going to a new campus. It's been great. And just the other day, I saw my husband give my youngest daughter a copy of your book, and I was like, yay, there she has it. I saw it next to her bedstand, in fact, the other night, so I know she's actually reading it.
Oh my gosh, is she a freshman this year or a senior?
She is a freshman. She's a freshman. So, and you know, this week is National College Move-In Week, so most colleges are moving into their dorms, but the whole roommate thing, you know, it's changed over the years because you meet your roommate a lot of times in a Facebook group. But right. That also creates a whole new dimension because you go to the college with a predisposed idea of everybody in that group, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And I'd also first like to also let everyone know, you know, the Naked Roommate, I interviewed thousands of students all over the country because I had such a challenging first year in college. And I'd ask students to share their tips and stories. So it's everything from arriving on campus to life in the classroom, outside, roommates, relationships, all of those things. And exactly what you're saying with roommates, one of the big things I've seen change is that there's this expectation. So if there's anyone listening who has a child who's in college or going to college or has dealt with roommate situations, this idea of I already hate my roommate before I met my roommate face-to-face, that happens. Or here's the biggest problem is students arrive on campus and they expect their roommate to be their friend. Now, a lot of parents might say, why is that a bad thing? Well, the only expectation should be we're going to share space and coexist. Because the minute I expect you to do something is the minute that you're set up to disappoint me. And it's also the minute that I may be too afraid to tell you the truth. Because if I expect you to be my friend, I can't always tell you the uncomfortable truth that's part of living in a roommate situation. We expect, and parents are the biggest violators, for it to be a wonderful situation. And when I speak, and I was just at Purdue right before the parents said goodbye to their kids, I did an event for them. And it was this setting expectations that the only thing is your child should just coexist. And your child, if friendship would be wonderful. But if your child goes into college thinking, where are my places where I'm going to find connection, community, and friends? And who are the people who I'm going to have in my corner? The roommate doesn't have to be that most important person. They could be another person, which is really how we're able to be honest. So, you know, it's just shifting these expectations, but students don't know what's coming. And parents, I mean, you're a four-timer, so you're like a pro.
Right.
And I'm sure there's still stuff that throws you.
You know what's really cool? This is just like on the roommate thing. My son, who went to West Point, do you know they change roommates every single semester? And they do that to train them to learn to live with different people. So, you know, if you find that perfect roommate your first semester, well, sorry, buddy, you're not going to have that perfect roommate the second semester. So for 4 years, every semester, you change roommates. And, you know, I'm sure that has to do with Army stuff. But it's just kind of an interesting concept that that's what they do there.
I didn't know they do that. And I love that because for me, you know, my whole motto is I want to help students and parents get comfortable with the uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And in The Naked Roommate and The Naked Roommate for Parents Only, the parent version of the book, it's all about how could we deal with change and transition in a way where we can actually connect and grow. And then if we have this, you know, 10,000 foot view of college, it's really all about navigating transition, you know, social, emotional, physical, financial, and academic. And the roommate is the physical, the social, the emotional. But college and life is all about transition. So for me, it's been how can I be the best partner to help students to really understand transition and to help parents to be great partners.
What are the must-dos when it comes to finances? Because that's normally the last thing that we address. You know, we like to buy the comforter and decorate the room and join the sorority, but we forget about the money thing.
Yeah, it's a huge issue. And when I travel to high schools and also when I'm visiting with students in colleges, you know, a lot of them will tell me they're scared because they have this debt. they haven't really thought of how they're going to pay that down, or they don't know how they're going to pay for college. So the most important money must do is to do the math. And it's really letting your child take the lead when it comes to filling out that FAFSA every year, when it comes to really understanding when I graduate, and I'm going to graduate in 4 years, and you want to make sure it's 4 years, because for every additional year, you're talking tuition, room, board, and opportunity costs. Right. So it could be as much as $70,000 more a year, or even more, is how much is this going to cost me when I graduate? So really doing the math, and most folks don't know how to do this. So one of the things I have on my website, it's bestfirstyear.com. I have a really cool online webinar that talks about the seven money must-dos. And I'm also working with College Ave Student Loans and have these really cool videos as well that, people can access.
We're unfortunately out of time. I could talk to you all day.
Really?
It goes so fast, doesn't it? I know. But I'm glad you put it in there, bestfirstyear.com. And you know what? I think that parents, you need to, if you have a freshman in high school, it is not too soon to educate yourself on this and go and just start, you know, listen, pre-college programs during the summer, I am a huge fan of, but educate yourself now, and it'll make it so much easier, and you'll be so much prepared, and so will your child when it gets here. Harlan, it was awesome to talk to you. I'm going home and telling my kids that, guess who I spoke to today? And I did it with clothes on. I wasn't naked, and I'm
so
just
far as
it was,
we know. So you say
right, exactly. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your wisdom and helping so many parents out. First, bestfirstyear.com is where you'll find all of his wisdom. Thank you so much for being with us today on Mom Talk Radio. And when we return, we're going to turn our attention to some really other important stuff for moms and dads and grandparents.
Mom Talk Radio, a busy mom's best friend.
I'm excited to have an author that many of you guys might have read her book on the New York Times bestseller list, For the Love, and the forthcoming of Mess and Moxie, Wrangling Delight Out of This Wild and Glorious Life, actually came out this week. Jen Hatmaker is with us, and she's here to share a little bit about her new book and what's going on in her life. So welcome, Jen, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thanks for having me on so much.
You starred in the popular series My Big Family Renovation on HGTV, and you have five kids, and you got a lot going on in your life. When do you have time to write a book? Or a second one,
at least. Yeah, great question, right? Like, I ask myself this all the time. People are like, oh, how did you get this done? I'm like, honestly, I don't remember. It's fuzzy. At this point, so we've got five kids. Our oldest is just this very minute driving with his dad to go back to college for his sophomore year. And our youngest is going into sixth grade. So we've got two in middle, two in high school, and one in college. And so I have the luxury of having some quiet hours during the day while they're at school. So that if it does not get done while they are at school, it will not get done. It's that simple. So when they all start coming back in the door at 3 o'clock, game time's over.
So during that time, you wrote Of Mess and Moxie. So tell us a little bit about the new book.
I love this book. I loved writing it. I love the ideas that are included in it. It's for women. And it's just sort of this dual idea. First of all, it's a collection. It's a lot of things. It's stories. It's some advice. It's some theology and faith. It's some humor. And it's kind of a little bit like a soup. I don't exactly know how much of each ingredient is in there, but it's all in there. And it all combines to taste good. So, but it combines this sort of dual idea that for every single one of us, life can be messy, that first word of mess. And by that, I mean, we suffer, we struggle, we fail, we have loss, we have pain, whatever it is. It's not because we're doing life wrong. It's just because that's how life is. It's hard for everyone.
Right.
But at the same time, we have this really amazing moxie, which is this ability to survive, to overcome, to learn from our mistakes and do better next time. to heal, to grow up, to develop. And so I see that all the time. I have got a huge community of women that I love and lead, and the moxie in this crowd is so absurd that it just cannot be believed. So I hope that it'll be encouraging. I hope that women will read it and go, oh, me too, and that they'll walk away feeling really inspired to live a really meaningful and rich and full life.
How do you get people to open up with their stories? Because some people have great stories and they never tell them, right? And then there's some people you meet in life that they would talk your ear off telling you the stories. But so how do you determine whose story to tell and how to get them to tell it to you?
Well, one thing that I find in a community of women is that vulnerability and authenticity is incredibly contagious. So even if you've got a friend or a person in your circle who is maybe a little bit more reticent to share or to be forthright with her story, what happens is when a few women start going, when they start saying real things that could be hard, but they're true, this is what's going on in my life. This is what marriage actually looks like right now. This is what I'm struggling with a kid. This is where my health is going sideways. Whatever it is, just the truth of life, I just find that that seeds the community with this this urgency to do likewise, to tell the truth, to share one another's pain and triumph. And so I think it's a culture we create, and it starts with you. So, you know, we can't wait for everybody else to do that. We can't wait for somebody else to be transparent first. I mean, I guess we can, but it may mean that we just stay in isolation forever. So it always, to me, it begins with you, with you and your circle. Are you willing to go first? And then to see how that really transforms your community.
Well, we could talk a lot more on this. I'm going to encourage instead, because we only have 1 minute left, our listeners to pick up a copy of Mess and Moxie. And Jen, where can they go to find out more? Do you have a website?
Sure do. You can find me over at jenhatmaker.com, and there's more information on the book over there. My podcast is also housed over there, and you can get the book anywhere. It's everywhere books are sold, and it's been such an exciting and fun week to have it born into the earth. So
That's
I hope
right.
that your listeners love it. It was a real joy for me to write it for them.
Well, thank you very much for joining us today on Mom Talk Radio. And when we return, we're going to shift our attention to the myth of ADHD children. There's a lot of things that we hear, and somehow we don't know what is true and what is not. But we have an expert here to talk a little bit about the myths that we're going to dispel when we return.
Talk Radio, a busy mom's best friend. Now, Maria Bailey on Mom Talk Radio.
I am delighted to have with us today Dr. Thomas Armstrong. He is the author of The Myths of the ADHD Child. It's a revised edition, 101 Ways to Improve Your Child's Behavior and Attention Span Without Drugs, Labels, or Coercion. And he's the executive director of the American Institute for Learning and Human Development. He's been everywhere. Like, you've seen him in Ladies Home Journal and on CBS This Morning and CNN and BBC and a whole bunch of stuff. And I want to jump right in here. So welcome, Dr. Armstrong, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thanks, Maria. It's great to be on.
So we're heading into school. Most schools are either already started or they're starting this week, or if you're in New York, you wait till after Labor Day. But a lot of us have children that either are undiagnosed with ADHD. You know, maybe we're that mom that's like, just pay attention, and we don't even know that our child is suffering. Or we're a mom that we know our child is going to struggle a little bit in school. What's your best, advice in kicking off and supporting our kids? And what's the biggest myth that we need to go into the school year, dispelling?
Well, I think in my book, I really explore how the idea of ADHD itself is flawed. I'm not saying that the symptoms aren't there. They definitely are there. You know, hyperactivity, distractibility, impulsivity, those are situations that parents and teachers have to deal with. So my suggestion is to just skip the ADHD and go right to the symptoms themselves. Mm-hmm. And that's why in the book that I propose 101 strategies, everything from, you know, have your child run around the block a few times before he goes off to school so he can work off some of that excess energy, to providing him with a breakfast that it consists of carbohydrates and proteins, you know, like eggs and toast, but not leave him with just a roll and orange juice. That's not enough. Studies suggest he'll be more focused if he has a fuller, healthier breakfast. And also, by the way, junk food has been tied more recently to ADHD behaviors. So there's actually a lot that parents can do at home to get their kids ready for school. I mean, they can do things like put up a big poster with a picture of the school and have the child write down words that he associates with school. Of course, you may have to put a limit on the kind of words that he puts up there. But just some things to get involved in school. Have discussions around the dinner table about school. You know, what are his fears? You know, is there a teacher there in the school that he's a little bit worried about that's going to be writing his case? You know, and getting some of these things talked out before school starts can actually go a long way towards helping your child adapt to it.
Yeah. And what about, I'm trying to figure out what, I went years with a daughter who had learning challenges, not knowing what, you know, what it was, but she had a lot of symptoms of ADHD, never diagnosed with it. But it turned out also that she was dyslexic. It was the fact that you offer non-drug ways to improve our children's behaviors, because it just seems like everybody's handing out drugs to our children now. And I just wonder, is it a myth or my imagination, but are we over-medicating our children?
I think we are. There are some kids that definitely benefit from medication. And I suggest that parents consult with their physicians before they do anything with regard to putting their child on medications or taking them off. But we've got a huge pharmaceutical industry chomping at the bit to this what will be a $17.5 billion industry by 2020. So I think that the problem is parents are going to the medication answer too quickly. It should be a last resort after trying other non-drug alternatives, you know, things like getting your child out in nature, getting your child natural light. It turns out that the ADHD rates are the lowest in the places in the country that have more sunlight, believe it or not. Giving your child time to play, limiting their involvement in violent media and then a lot of the mindless social networking that goes on. Because, you know, the media actually wires the brain and gets us hooked on our own dopamine, which is the neurotransmitter associated with rewards. So I definitely feel that there's a link between the oversaturation of media. And if you can cut that down, maybe you won't have to use medications or can use at least a lower dose, which, you know, your physician obviously will determine is best for him.
So how do you determine when you have a child who maybe has a symptom, is there a place to go? Do you have a website of resources that our moms can go? Because we just have a minute left and I want to make sure that we empower our moms who are listening.
Sure. Yes. My website, it's the American Institute for Learning and Human Development. It's www.institute4learning.com. That's institute4learning.com.
Well, I really appreciate the fact that you're coming out with this revised edition of your book. I know moms like myself appreciate it. And the resources that you lead with your institution. So thank you so much for sharing some of that knowledge with us today on Mom Talk Radio. And we hope to have you back another time to tell us a little bit more about those myths. You know, there are so many things that we have to consider at this time of year as our kids go back to school: good nutrition, good health care, good learning habits. Now's the time to do it. Remember, it only takes 2 weeks to create a good habit. So when we return, we're going to be talking with a board-certified pediatrician who is now looking at boys and girls and the guy stuff. The Body Part Book for Boys is her book, and we're going to be talking about that when we return.
This is Mom Talk Radio. Mom's Little Secret, Mom Talk Radio with Maria Bailey.
So when my kids were growing up, my husband often said, what are you going to do, or what am I going to do if our daughters happen to start their period while you're out of town? And so I handed him a book. It was The American Girl's The Care and Keeping of You book. And I said, here, honey, if that day ever comes and I'm not here, just hand this book to who, you know, whichever daughter it is. And I have to tell you, I have given that book to more than 100 people, that other moms that I know who have young daughters. And I'm so excited to have the author of that book on Mom Talk Radio, Dr. Kara Natterson. She's a pediatrician and consultant and the author of the bestseller, American Girls, The Care and Keeping of You. Now she's got a new book. Yes, she is turning her attention to boys, guy stuff, the body book for boys. And I don't even care that my boys are a little older now. I am going to read this book just so I can understand them. So I'd like to welcome Dr. Natterson to Mom Talk Radio.
Oh, thank you. What a great introduction. I really appreciate it.
Oh, let me tell you, that book has saved so many lives. I mean, do your ears constantly buzz? Because I know sitting around having, you know, a glass of wine with moms, your book comes up all the time. Like when a mom's like, oh my God, I don't know what my daughter's going through. It's not only me, it's a whole bunch of moms that are very appreciative to your knowledge. So thank you. Did you think that you were going to make such an impact when you put that little paperback book together?
I have to tell you a little bit about the history of it, because I didn't make as much history as American Girl made. That book was originally published 19 years ago in 1998, and it was actually put out by American Girl independent of me. I was training to be a pediatrician. And it's so funny because when I was at my very first job as a pediatrician, first day of work, my senior advisor in the practice pulled me into his office and he literally sat me down and said, you need to know three things about being a pediatrician that they never taught you in medical school. One is how to treat lice. One is how to treat pink eye. And one is about this book called The Care and Keeping of You. And that was in the year 2000. And he was so right on. And so I too talked to hundreds and hundreds of parents about it over the years and daughters. And then flash forward to 2013, when I was fortunate enough to be the person to update the original book and then create a second book, The Care and Keeping of You 2, for older girls, and to really start expanding the line.
Yeah. So, okay. So now we got a book about boys. What am I going to learn might not have known about my two sons?
Well, my favorite fact about the boy book is that about 80% of the content in the boy book is very similar to the girl book. So things like hand washing and taking care of acne and even managing your emotions, they're not gender specific. Girls manage those things, so do boys. And I think the greatest lesson from these books side by side is that puberty is really a human experience, much more than it's a girl experience or a boy experience. But I promise there is boy-specific information and guy stuff, and you'll learn a lot. You'll learn about how to tell when your son's in puberty. Your son will learn how to tell when he's in puberty and what that process is going to entail and what he can do to keep himself healthy and growing well through the whole thing.
Wow, that's amazing. So What do you feel is the greatest obstacle in getting boys, though, to talk about, like, their changing bodies? Like, I feel like I changed their diapers for all those years, and then there just got to be a point where, like, suddenly I wasn't included in any of anything that was physical on their body anymore.
I have a 12-year-old son. I know exactly what you mean. So, you know, the biggest obstacle in my mind is the socialization piece. We are so good at bringing girls into conversations about health and wellness and body and what's going to happen. And as good as we are about it for girls, that's how bad we are about doing it for our boys. And that's partly because, you know, part of normal puberty for boys, I talk about this a lot in the book, is that their mood swings, instead of being more outward, are often more inward. Boys get quiet when they enter puberty, not all, but most, many. And that reaction to not want to talk is hormonal. It's physiological. So if that's how they feel, then it's sort of like trying to draw water out of a stone when you try to talk to your boys. And then you add to that that fathers and grandfathers and uncles, they were all raised to not talk about it too, just to put their head down and get through it. So there's this big social piece where we do have all these wonderful conversations with our girls, but we really don't do it for our boys in the same way.
Yeah, that is pretty amazing. So where can moms pick up a copy of the book?
It's sold everywhere that books are sold. The American Girl website has guy stuff, as does Amazon, Barnes & Noble, independent booksellers. So it's pretty much everywhere.
And I'm sure that you're just very, very proud of this book. Do you have sons by chance?
I do. I have a 12-year-old son and a 14-year-old daughter. And I have to say that as proud as I am about having put out this book, the one person in America who has some mixed feelings about it seems to be my own son. Whose sister says, "Welcome to my life. Mom wrote books about me for years." So it's sort of a funny leveling experience in my house.
Yeah, I actually had my kids come to me when they were about 12 and they said, "Okay, Mom, if you're going to continue to do Mom Talk Radio, you have to eliminate any stories about us. Like, no more stories. You know, we don't want, you know, our friends' moms to be listening to you and hear stories about what we're doing in the bathtub." So
Right. Can you blame them? So
no, not at all. Well, congratulations. I can't wait to read it myself. I'm going to just take it on a plane someday and read it. It's called Guy Stuff, the Body Book for Boys. Thank you so much, Dr. Natterson, for being with us today on Mom Talk Radio. And we're going to switch gears when we return. We're going to be talking with the next generation thought leader in parenting and women's leadership. You're going to want to hear what she has to say.
Mom Talk Radio, a busy mom's best friend.
I am delighted to have with us today a woman who has been called the next generation's thought leader in parenting and women's leadership. Her mission is to crack people open to their deepest potential and lead the life their soul craves. She is Heather Chauvin, and she is here on Mom Talk Radio. So welcome, Heather.
Thank you so much. Excited to be here.
So there's two words that you ban, selfish and guilt. So tell me a little bit about those two words, because they're said a lot when it comes to moms.
For sure. So we always think self-care is selfish, and I can't do that because I feel guilty, when really these are just illusions of our mind trying to keep us safe. So if we pull back the layers and realize that those are just blocks getting in our way, we don't want to move through that energy. We want to create what we want to feel good when we're parenting, right? So I always say that, you know, filling your cup first is the greatest gift you can ever give your children, and guilt doesn't serve a purpose.
Yeah, it's a pretty bad one there. It's like an empty emotion almost. So if we're one of those moms that just can't, get around the guilt. We just feel like we need to be the martyr or whatever provokes us to be there. Are there ways, are there skills, are there questions for us to ask when we start to feel that way?
Yeah, for sure. So I used to wear that martyr hat, button, whatever you want to call it, very, very well, right? Look at me. I'm so exhausted and miserable. Yay, everybody's on my side. This feels awesome. The one thing that turned my life around and that I support my clients with is mindfulness. Mindfulness, become aware of what's going on within you, right? We know that this overwhelming negativity, this overwhelming drain doesn't light us up. It doesn't make us feel good. So pen to paper is like a quick strategy that I can give people. What do you want in your life? Something simple, strategic, just start writing it down. I want, I want, I want, I want, and get a page and just get your brain focused on what you do want in your life instead of complaining and focusing on what you don't want.
That's a really good exercise because I think a lot of people have, you know, we think we know what we want, but we don't really know what we want, you know, and writing it down kind of is a little commitment to that.
Yeah. Or you'll say, I don't want to be angry. Well, that's not the opposite, right? What if you weren't angry, what would you be? I don't want to be exhausted. If you weren't exhausted, what would you be? And then once you start knowing what you want, of like, I want to feel energized and excited to wake up in the morning. I want to be, you know, present with my children. Then you can start asking yourself, great, what are some things that I can plan into my day or my week to make that emotion, that feeling enter my body? So it might be going for a walk or pre-planning a meal or, you know, putting your cell phone away and being present with the kids. But we got to know what we want. We got to know how it wants to make us feel. And then we actually have to take action on this. If we take action on it, then things will start to unfold.
Absolutely. So we only have 2 minutes left and I'd like to just hear, you know, you were talking about the mom's behavior. But can you give us just your minute and a half rendition of how our children's behaviors translate into languages that we should learn to understand?
For sure. I mean, self-awareness in yourself is number one because we know when we're triggered. But I always say our children's behavior is a language. So typically we love to slap on labels of they're being defiant, they're having a meltdown, they're not listening, they're, you know, disrespecting me. But I always say, understand that your child may not have the emotional intelligence. I mean, heck, most adults don't, right? So your child might not know how to emotionally talk about what is going on within them. So instead of being triggered by their behavior, see that they are talking to you through their meltdowns. And once you get to the root, the core of what's really going on, then you can solve it at that end and not be so triggered by it and have the power struggles.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and you have a website. As we say goodbye, could you let us know where we can find you online?
Yeah, so you can find me at my name, Heather Chauvin, last name spelled CHAUVIN.com, or, you know, Google Mom is in Control podcast, and you can find me there.
Well, thank you so much for being with us today on Mom Talk Radio, and I hope that everyone takes it to heart what you're saying as we go into the new school year. So thank you very much. And I want to thank all of you for listening to this week's Mom Talk Radio. Remember, you can tweet me at Mom Talk Radio online, or you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and give us your show suggestions as we go into the new school year. We'd love to hear from you. And I will see you again next week, this time, this station, or you can find us online at momtalkradio.com. Bye, everyone. Have a great week.